ABC Listen.
ABC Sport. Grandstand Cricket.
There you go.
That's it for the day.
You can hear the bells.
And that is Stumps.
This is Grandstand at Stumps.
On ABC Radio.
ABC Sport Digital Radio. And the ABC Listen app.
Welcome to Grandstand at Stumps. England showed some fight on the fourth day of the Brisbane Test match, but ultimately after 6 days of cricket into this series, Australia lead 2-0 and Pat Cummins and Josh Hazlewood have not even played a game yet. A pair of 8-wicket wins for the Australians to start the series, an 8-wicket win in Perth and replicated here in Brisbane. Corbin Middlemass on the boundary's edge at the completion of the second test. Alongside me, two former test cricketers, Jason Gillespie and Darren Lehman. First impressions, Diz, what do we see on today, the fourth day?
I thought we saw a bit of fight from England with the bat in hand. They obviously learnt from what Australia did yesterday. The lower order acquitted themselves very well, and I thought Stokes and Will Jacks batted very, very well today against some very disciplined Australian bowling. I thought Australia bowled really well, led by Michael Nisa with those 5 wickets. And special mention, Alex Carey. I thought he was absolutely superb behind the stumps.
So they got to none for 90, essentially, in the day. They'd put on 90, the overnight pair of Jacks and Stokes. And yet when one fell, and it took an absolute blinder from Steve Smith, Darren Lehman, to dismiss Will Jacks, it happened in a hurry. England lost their last 4 for 17. They set a target of 65. And ultimately, Steve Smith was able to hit the winning runs with a 6. And the Aussies get home by 8 wickets.
Well, I've never seen Steve Smith so emotional after a win. So he knows how important that was for the team. And I thought they played great cricket, Australia, in this whole test match. They played good test match cricket. Credit to England. I thought they fought really hard today. Stokes and Jacks were very good. And then once you got that wicket, you just felt it was going to slide very quickly, and it did. And then, obviously, chasing 60 is never easy, but you just get them nice and aggressive. And Smith was playing T20 at the end. So Australia, full credit. It was a fantastic... Yesterday's batting from the tail end really set up the game, because they got to bowl with a new ball under lights. And that's going to be another question that you would ask.
Yeah.
Should have England declared? And we said they should have. Now, they got 334, but all the wickets fell at night.
Yep. That's where the lion's share of them fell throughout the test match. I think 13 of the first 25, and then even two more of them in the ninth session this evening to make that 15 for the test match across the 4 days. So Australia 2-0 up. England on the wrong side of history. If you're wondering why we're talking like it's series over, I mean, England have now played 17 consecutive tests in Australia. They haven't won any of them. And there's only been one team in the history of the game, which is almost 150 years, Diz, that have come from 2-0 down to win a series. Not an Ashes series, not a series here in Australia. Any series to come from 2-0 down and win in Test cricket history. And that was Bradman's team in the late 1930s. So unless England think they've got a Don Bradman in their cast somewhere, this is going to be tough sledding for the tourists from here. And it's virtually series done after 6 days.
Yeah, it feels that way, doesn't it, Corby? Doesn't it, Buff? It feels like it's a hard road back for England. Yes, as Buff said, they acquitted themselves well today, adjusted and adapted their game. But it was almost, you almost get a sense it was too little, too late. And look, a lot of questions are going to be asked. I think the drums are beating louder about how England have approached this test series. How well have they prepared? These questions are going to be asked. There's no doubt about that.
Louder, they're akadaka. That's how they're going. That's how loud they're going to be.
Well, when you think about an Australian team that, you know, no disrespect to these guys, but Josh Inglis, Brendan Doggett, Michael Nisa, you know, guys that weren't necessarily part of the plan or the first choice 11 leading into the series. If you'd said, hey, they're going to play in Brisbane, you know, and the second test match of the series, you'd be thinking, gee, something's gone horribly wrong for the Aussies. And yet, after 6 days of cricket, they're sitting pretty at 2-0.
At 1 for 100 in day two, lunchtime England. If they played like they did today, they'd probably win the Perth Test match, to be fair. Correct. But since then, it's been all Australia. I loved it. And look, we've got to give the selectors some credit. We thought they got it wrong with Lyon.
Yep.
And in essence, we still think Lyon should have played. But they got it right with Nisa, didn't they? And they played the quicks, and they just trusted the quicks to bowl them out twice. They got their 20 wickets, and they won comfortably.
So Root gets his 100 in the test match. I mean, it will be remembered in some ways for that this all-time great of the game now gets to 40 hundreds. The missing piece on his resume was clearly a 100 in Australia. He's now got that, 100 against his chief rival away from home. But he also now has 16 completed test matches here, and he hasn't got a single win. It feels like we're always trying to discount Joe Root or say that there's something of his career that's missing or incomplete, but gee, that's not a great number, is it? 16 Test matches and has never sung the song once.
There's been a lot of those, to be fair. It's not just Joe Root. I mean, he did everything he possibly could to actually make it work this Test match. He was brilliant. He adjusted well. He got the 100 he was, you know, desiring, and he played so well. He needs to make 100 each and every game for them to be competitive. Harry Brook needs to stand up a bit more and get hundreds. And if they do that, we did say they would be a lot better and more competitive. They were a bit shy and short in the first innings. Probably it's a 400 wicket on that tract is.
Yep.
And they needed to make sure that if they got the 400, then they bowled and fielded well. And what they didn't do was catch. They weren't playing catch. And that's a big thing in the game of cricket. Australia caught everything. England didn't.
I couldn't agree more, Buffa. The old saying, catches win matches, no more evident than this game. I mean, the five catches that they dropped in the night session, England, then a couple of brilliant catches led, like Steve Smith taking that catch to dismiss Will Jacks this afternoon, was just absolutely superb. And, you know, they're the 50-50 chances that you must take, and England certainly didn't take them.
We might just do our own thing for the time being, that the presentations are about to start, but we will get the man of the match who's going to join us on ABC Sport. If you've just flicked the radio on, Australia have won the second test by 8 wickets. They lead 2-0 in the 5-match Ashes series. We're chatting a little bit about England. It's hard to sort of not focus on what it means for England, and these things have a tendency to snowball, particularly away from home in 5-test-match series, particularly when the home team's down. And we've seen that in the past. I think they're going to go to Noosa, aren't they, for a few days? So as much as they were asked a lot of questions at the completion of the Perth Test match, I feel like none of those questions are going away, Buff, leading into the Adelaide Test for the tourists.
Yeah, Corby, to defend England a little bit here, I don't mind the break now, but they shouldn't have had the break leading into this game or the first test. Get better quality opposition, play WA if you possibly could, or at least train at the Wacker. And then have that pink ball game just to get used to fielding the pink ball.
Yeah.
Forget about the result. You know, you get used to bowling the right lengths, batting against it, you know, facing it, seeing it at night, see how it plays, etc. Play that game in Canberra. Play this game. If you lose, that's a game of cricket. That can happen. But then have your break now. So I don't mind the break now as such.
So what went well here for England? I mean, they dropped 4 catches under lights at the end of day 2, 5 in the innings. They didn't bat particularly well across both innings, albeit apart from one partnership today, they didn't bowl particularly well. I mean, where are the redeeming qualities out of this this Test match for England?
The only thing I'd say is the partnership of Stokes and Jacks shows that if you pivot and adjust your blueprint to match the conditions and the situation, they showed they can do it. And had they, I mean, let's think about it, as Buff said, if they batted like that in the first Test, there's every chance they would have won. So they did show today that they can adjust and adapt. But I agree. I think their plans with the ball have been this whole series have been very wrong. And yeah, just the wafting outside off stump with the bat in hand has been nothing short of poor.
They're in the unenviable position too, Bill, for it feels like the Aussie media are on them, the Aussie fans are on them, the English media are on them. The English fans are on them as well. But all of a sudden, they're feeling the heat from every angle.
Knowing how Ashes work, you know, the English media is going to overtake our media right now.
No, they're
going to be ruthless. They've just got to learn to adapt to conditions. If you're playing in Perth, don't cover drive. If you're playing in Brisbane, don't cover drive. It's pretty simple. And I'm sure they would have spoken about it. I know we had a go earlier about, you know, saying that in the press that they hadn't talked about it. Well, if they haven't talked about it, that's poor. But you would have talked about doing those things. They didn't do them. They've got to be better. I thought the worst thing about the whole performance was the bowling in the first innings to Head and Weatherall. I mean, we flew off to, 77 after about 12 overs? And it felt like that 334 was 100 too light, and it was.
How do they improve their side going to Adelaide, the tourists? We'll talk about the Aussies in a moment when the man of the match joins us. How do England get better?
Yep. I saw Josh Tung and Matthew Potts bowl in Canberra, the PM's 11 game. I thought Tung, although Tung didn't get any wickets, he bowled with real airspeed, and he was nudging 90 mile an hour, big tall bowler. I expect he'll be in a conversation to come in to this England side for a start. I'm not sure what they do batting. They've only got Jacob Bethel as a backup batsman. So, so it'd be interesting to see which way they pivot.
Would you play him?
I'd be tempted.
Yeah,
I'd be tempted. And potentially Shoaib Bashir as well, no doubt.
How good's this? The man of the match. He's the early front runner, and he's going to be a pretty warm favourite to beat for the man of the series. He's dominated this test match again. 8 wickets, 6 for in the first innings. High score, too, in the Australian innings of 511 with 77. It's fast becoming the summer of Stark. Mitchell Stark is with us on ABC Sport. Hey, Mitch, congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Oh, very understated. Congratulations. I mean, how do you sum up the 4 days we've seen here in Brisbane?
Yeah, it was pretty hard fought, I guess. A pretty firm wicket. I think it would have been a really, really good red ball wicket, to be honest. It's always a bit firmer up here than obviously the test matches with the pink ball in Adelaide. So the ball goes a bit softer quite early, and it can be a bit slower in terms of run scoring and opportunities with the ball. But I think... Yeah, couldn't have asked for more. I thought we were pretty good with the ball in the first innings, and then to get the lead that we did with the bat, and then do a really good job. I think Ness was phenomenal tonight. So, a very good week for us.
Mate, your rhythm's been unbelievable. What do you put that down to? Just your prep? You played a couple of Shield games, everything in the one days. You were great in the one days. I don't think I've seen you bowl better, especially first ball. It's your first over all the time, but the rhythm looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's feeling really good. Obviously, had a bit of a break after the West Indies. It was probably the longest break I've had where it's not from a force from an injury. So, had some really good time to put back in my body. Obviously, had the build-up through the one-day series and the Shield game, and sort of felt like something wasn't clicking right. It felt really close, but didn't quite feel like it was clicking until probably the main session before the Perth test, and it just felt like it was ready to go. So, really pleased with how it's going.
And am I right in saying that you've actually changed a little bit? You use the other ball more often than not, and then use the in-swinger a bit later, a bit rarer.
Yeah, I think that comes with conditions and opposition. Obviously, England, you know, they're pretty used to facing the swinging ball. And we've seen wickets that offer a little bit sideways, probably in recent years in Australia anyway. So, having learnt that or spoken a lot with Josh and Pat about it, it's been nice to have added that to the... So to have a bit more in the bag rather than just trying to bowl fast and swing it. Obviously, it's working, so hopefully I can do another 3 tests worth and then go from there.
Starkey, strategically, I thought the batting of the lower order that you were a massive part of yesterday was absolutely huge in this game. Did you guys, as a lower order, speak about that before the start of the play?
Yes and no. I think it just sort of comes with game awareness.
Yeah.
You know, they often talk about the quicks not having too many brains, but I thought we did a lot better than the batters this week. So, it comes with pink ball cricket as well. I think, obviously, you want to bowl with a harder, ideally with a brand new pink ball under lights, right? So, we knew if we could get through, we'll start with an hour and try and push back that bowling innings as far as we could later into the day. And we were good enough to get through, 3 hours worth and then really make the most of the conditions in the night session. So we got those rewards from the hard work with the bat through the day and probably set up the second innings win, I guess.
You've already built a Hall of Fame career and you come out into this series with no Hazelwood and no Cummins. I'm sure you'd say, look, I'd much rather them be there, clearly, obviously, given how talented they are. But is there part of you that thinks, okay, I got this, I can lead this attack, I can be the man in the absence of your two running mates? Is that a challenge that you sort of particularly took on leading into this series?
Whether I thought that way or not. My role hasn't changed, I would say. I think, you know, Scotty's been around for a long time and we know how good he is. We saw tonight how good Ness is. I think he's very underrated and he's a workhorse. He's very understated and I'm really glad to see him get those rewards today. We've seen Doggy come on and I've seen him for a while now and the talent he's got. So we knew we had the depth. It was a lot made about Josh and Pat not being here. Obviously got a bit more experience, so it was nice to lead from that regard. And we've taken 2 wins and potential. Sounds like we could have Paddy back next week and not sure about Joshy, but when you get Pat Cummins back into his squad, it's all smiles.
I think you're going to lose a lot of arguments if you try and make the case that Mitchell Stark is not Australia's best three-format bowler in the three-format era of the game. Do you feel like, though, and Buff alluded to it, do you feel like you're playing your best test cricket right now at 35 years of age? It feels like we've, extending on from the Caribbean and really even go back as far as the last 12, 18 months. Are you playing your best red ball cricket right now? And chucking the pink ball as well, for whatever that's worth.
Probably not for me to say, but I'm feeling pretty good, so... Yeah, it helps having that experience. You know, some mornings are slower than others, but it feels like the rhythm's there, as we've alluded to before. And Yeah, really enjoying this group. We've been together for a long time. There's been a lot made of our experience or our age, but I think that, you know, the fact that we've all been together for a long time, we love playing cricket together. It's great to win. But I think that the fact that whether it be learning from one another or just enjoying each other's company through a series or on tour, I think that's reflected in our cricket. So, yeah, whether it's also true with how I'm going, it's going all right.
And Starkey, I mean, I know you're a very humble man, but you have gone past the great Wozzy Makram. Most effective, most wickets of a left-arm fast bowler in history, mate. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, I'm not a big reflector, so I'm sure I will at some point. Wozzy's still, in my eyes, still, I sound like Gazza now, in my eyes. Wozzy's still the greatest left-armer, so it's very humbling to be spoken about in sort of the same sentence as him, but I'm loving what I'm doing, so hopefully I can do it for a bit longer.
One from me, you're batting. Yeah. Where was that when I was bloody coaching you?
Hey, I think I scored a few 50s while you coached, didn't I?
Well, the way you batted, that was brilliant.
Thanks, mate.
That's the best I've seen you bat. Well done, mate.
Thanks.
Have you been doing some work?
Yeah, I always do a little bit of work. Always work closely with Diver and maybe it's the golf game. I don't know. It's
what are you down to on golf?
Six-ish. So
who holds the cup?
I'm in the lead at the moment.
Oh, you're beating the boss.
Yeah. Well, the boss has had a few injuries, so it hasn't been a lot of golf.
Oh, excuses for her.
No, we haven't played a lot, so I've kept the lead for a little while. So hitting the back end of the calendar year, hopefully I can hang on. But we all do a bit of work on it. So nice to contribute the way that we did this week, especially with the partnership with Scotty. So it's always nice to contribute as a lower order and I keep trying to say I prefer number 9 because my numbers are better at number 9 than number 8. But Pat still, if anyone's bowling quick or the ball's turned square, I have to go ahead of Pat. So,
and I'm sure it's a pretty tough gig going out there and bowling fast after you did it the day before and you batted for a long period. So you'll maybe just forgive me for asking the question. But it looks like you were grimacing at times last night when you were bowling. Are you A-OK and ready to go come Adelaide in 8 days' time?
Yeah, I thought my speeds were okay today too.
No doubt about that.
No, it's I had something similar maybe last year or the year before. I think it actually comes with a bit too much batting. I think it's got like a little rib joint thing on the wrong side. So it's fine. It's actually fine bowling. It's just giving me a bit of aches and pains. Probably too much batting. So hopefully the batters can do it from now.
Well, enjoy, mate. All of Australia, very proud of you tonight. We loved everything you've done for the team. The team were brilliant. So congratulations, buddy.
Thanks, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Mitchell Starc, the man of the match and the short price favourite for the man of the series. He was excellent again up here in Brisbane. Pretty clear winner, 8 wickets, 77 with the bat, the top scorer. As we touched on, it feels like he's playing the best cricket of his career right now.
Yeah, and a superstar. And I mean, that question that Wolf asked about his wobble seam, that's something that he has worked hard on. His alignment at the crease is very good because I think he's had a tendency in the past, Starkey, when he hasn't quite got it right, he's fallen away at front foot contact and ball release and he's gone across the right-handers and it hasn't been as effective, but he's more upright now. He's got his wrist and fingers behind the ball and he's getting that little bit of wobble, and then as Boof said, that big in-swinger is the wicket-taking ball.
All right, the other news out of the Australian camp, we've got a hot 10 minutes here before we're out. The fact that the Aussies win by 8 wickets, they're 2 up in the series, does it justify the decision for Nathan Lyon not to play?
Yes, but the funny thing is you still probably should have played him, but it justifies it because you won easy, and it's easy for us to sit off and not know the ins and outs, but Nessa came in, did his job, Doggett got a couple of wickets. Obviously Lyon will play in Adelaide, there's no doubt about that, but they won. They you can't slag off the way they went about it because they've got the 20 wickets.
So winning covers all sins.
It does, yeah. You don't want to go without a spinner too often, especially when it's 30 degrees. All the wickets fell at night against the quicks, and that's probably the plus.
And I'll tell you, it's going to be a tough decision on who to leave out. If Pat comes back in, as does Nathan Lyon, that's going to be a tough call for the selectors on who to leave out, because Nessa and Doggett both did quite well.
So Nessa was superb, and we spoke to him last night. What a great human interest story, as much as anything. A guy that hadn't played a test match in 3 years, he becomes the first player in history. His first 3 tests are all 3 pink ball test matches in the day-night arena. So there is a chance that he never plays again. I mean, that's, you don't want to sort of go too far with it, given the fact the guy's just taken Pfeiffer. But Cummins returning, Lyon returning, you think there's 2 spots in the lineup that immediately they have to make. And if it does pan out that way, what a great moment for him that he gets to have that here in his own backyard. And there's been plenty of players that that you know reach big milestones in their last performance and it never comes around again.
Case in point.
Yeah.
Big Diz. But Ness, Pfeiffer, bowled beautifully. Just nipped it at the right areas, got the keeper up the stumps. What we haven't talked about is the best keeping performance I've seen in 20, 30 years. And that's no disregard for obviously Brad Haddin and Ian Healy and all the Adam Gilchrist, all the greats. But wow, that was unbelievably special from Alex Carey.
Yeah, it certainly was. He was superb. He's keeping as well as he's ever kept for mine. Up to the stumps against the quicks, particularly Michael Nisa, he was superb.
Usman Khawaja, the obvious question. I saw him just walking around here with his kids moments ago. The feeling is, you put your finger in the wind, he's going to be right to go come Adelaide. Is there a place in the 11 for him?
Well, there's no wind out here, Corbin, anyway, so I don't know what finger's winding. But Usman, does he play?
Might be the hot air buff that's been spoken.
I'm not changing the top order because I just feel like England are bowling short and wide and shorter to Weatherall and Head because they don't want to give them too much room. So they're not pitching the ball up. So I'm probably staying with the same two, open the batting. So it's just the way it is. Usman doesn't play or they go back the other way. And traditionally, selectors have been like that, haven't they? So they may go the other way and Head drops down to five in Adelaide.
Yeah, I'm thinking someone else could come into consideration at some point is Nathan McSweeney. Just got a double 100 against the England Lions. Could he slot in somewhere in that middle order? I don't know. But I'm a bit like Buff. I don't think they will make a change. I don't think they should. And this may be disappointing or unfortunate or unlucky for Usman Khawaja, but I'm not making a change.
It feels like Inglis is the only guy, isn't it? Like he's the one that's vulnerable in the lineup. You think Weatherall, we clearly saw enough. He got 72 in the first innings, Red Ink in the second. You think he's going to play? Head's either going to play as an opener or in the middle order. Mm. And then everybody else almost picks themselves and that they've shown so much investment in Cam Green that even though his dismissal was probably regrettable in the first innings, he gives them the option with the ball. He's tremendous in the gully. Yeah. They're not leaving him out.
Oh, he batted well as well. Yeah. Forget about his dismissal. Yeah. He actually played really well. So, we see what he does with the ball and in the field. Mm-hmm. So, he's invested the time. Keep investing the time because he will repay that, I'm sure.
And then Mitchell Starc, who we spoke to moments ago, obviously 18 wickets in the series so far. It's got sort of Mitchell Johnson type vibes about it, doesn't it? And what he was able to do in 13, 14.
It is. It's a different type of bowling. It's fuller. He's going for nicks and LBs and, he's got them with his full ball. He swings one back and he pushes it across and he nicks you off straight and he seams it a little bit. Mm. Mitchell Johnson was brute speed and nasty. So it's different, but it's the same impact. Mm.
These are the moments you love, aren't they, as cricketers? The boys hanging around with their families on the plane arena, the floodlights are on and kids running around everywhere and the Aussies are 2-0 up in the Ashes. England with it all to do on the wrong side of history. 10 days before Adelaide, so it's December 7 now. December 17 is a Wednesday. That's the pre-Christmas test match when it starts in Adelaide, a day test. So that's something a little unusual, not the day-nighter. Of course, we've lived through that here. And then the two feature test matches in the holiday period with Melbourne and Sydney. We'll be back to wrap up in just a moment. But Michael Nisa, we got to lap it up with him. The Queenslander who gets a fifer in his home test match on his return after a three-year absence from the test arena. As Nisa delivers, Pope drives straight back to Nisa. He's caught and bowled. And Ollie Pope, who had been riding his luck, pops it straight back to Nisa. The return catch. The bowling change works. And the red-headed Englishman departs for 26.
So Carey continues to stand up over the stumps. Hello, Herbert Strudwick and others. Here comes Nisa. And he drives at this. He's caught and bowled. He's hit it straight back. The second caught and bowled. And Crawley just got a little under that punch and hit it straight back. Nisa in his follow through.
A new over, a slip and a gully as Nisa is rushing in here to Jax. Kerry standing up edge. Oh, Steve Smith's taken a blinder. One handed to his left at first slip, and the partnership is broken. Jax's resistance alongside Stokes comes to an end. He's out for 41. Steve Smith's gone racing off in celebration.
His knees are bowling, and oh, he's caught behind. Stokes is out. And I think all that conjecture of floodlights and everything else departs with England's captain, who just thumped his helmet there with a clenched fist. He's furious. He's just nibbled there outside the off stump.
Nisa to Cass. He's nicking. Smith takes the catch.
The man who started the rock with a superb diving catch. Smith gets the last. Neeser gets five.
How about that for a moment? Michael Neeser with a fiver as Australia walk out with an eight-wicket win, so a pair of eight-wicket victories for the Australians, the same winning margin as the Perth Test. They're 2-0 up and on the right side of history heading to Adelaide. Final word from Brisbane Buff with a little look forward.
Looking forward to getting to hometown Adelaide. Best oval, best ground in the world. Ooh. This?
Oh, I'm exactly the same. Looking forward to getting home. A little bit of time at home, and then that build-up to the Adelaide Test will be very exciting.
I'm actually going to Noosa for a few days. I might play golf and see the boys up there.
you could run into the English lads. There's a huge chance.
There is a huge chance. I will see them. But going back, I'm okay with them having a few days off. They need to regroup as a side. They just missed the opportunities at Canberra and things like that. They should have done.
Agreed.
Changes?
For England, definitely. I think Tung will come in. He will come in. I think they've got to bring Bashir back in. He's their spinner. You've got to have a legitimate spinner in Adelaide.
Yep.
They're pretty loyal with their side. They won't change up too much in that. Maybe Bethel, maybe, but they're not going to...
But Pope, I don't know who he comes in for.
See, Pope was their best player in Perth, but didn't look great here. Yeah. So they may change that, but they're not going to change too much. They keep the same side a long time. I mean, the one for me is Crawley. He looked good. He got 70 and 40. But if you look at historically over, he's averaging, 26 as an opener. I mean, you get to the stage where, and it was here for this series to win. And you haven't won, maybe that's where they may sort of look. They haven't lost yet. They can still win in Adelaide and make it tight again. You don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, they may give him one more.
It's crazy the Aussies could have as many as three changes with Usman, Cummins and Lyon, all chances to come back in.
That says they've got some depth, this?
Yeah. And that's what we've been talking about, questioning the depth of Australian cricket, but we've seen that other players can come in and do a job.
Thanks to everyone involved in this Brisbane Test match. This is where the credits roll at the end of the broadcast, but it is properly a cast that we couldn't do it without the people off air. You hear us on air, but Peter Scott, our tech, who's held it down all week, Dan Chaplin and Nick Coleman, to Johnny Manning, who's been down with us, braving the elements, holding the umbrella.
Holding the umbrella for you, Corbin.
He's done everything for us all week. And good culture carrier as part of our team as well. We've loved working with Johnny. To Anthony Furchie, same boat on socials. To Adam Jones, Brett Sprigger, Ned Hall back in the studio. To Benny Cameron.
The work experience.
He's running the show. Thanks to Ben, to Rick Finlay, to you, Boof, to Diz, to Tuffers, to Phil Jakes, to the voice of summer, Jim Maxwell, Jonathan Agnew, and, of course, Ali Mitchell. My name's Corbin Middlemass. On behalf of the entire team, signing off here at the Gabba. Grandstand Cricket on ABC Sport. The Aussies 2-0 up in the Ashes series. We'll catch you in Adelaide.
ABC Listen.